Open in your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 2. It's not hard to find. It's the second page. Genesis chapter 2. This being Valentine's Day, and I do say happy Valentine's to all of you, especially precious ladies and guys, I hope that you have expressed your love, appreciation for your wife, girlfriend, fiance, anybody else I can get in trouble on this special day. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Says, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the flesh, the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Two little fellas was sitting at a wedding, and they were watching the proceedings and all that was going on. And one little boy looked over at the other one, and he asked, so, how many marriages can you have? And his friend very thoughtfully said, 16. And that kind of surprised that first little boy, and he said, 16? And the second guy says, yeah, I think so. First little boy said, well, how do you know that? He said, well, I added it up. See, every time I come to a wedding, the pastor says, four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer. And that adds up to 16. That's kind of the way it goes, isn't it? We've all heard the expression about a marriage that's made in heaven. But does any such animal really exist as a marriage made in heaven? Is there such a thing as a perfect marriage? And how would we describe a perfect marriage if we had the opportunity to describe it? Well, first off, I would probably think that none of us has seen one, so we really wouldn't know how to describe it, because there's probably not such a creature. However, I do know that at least at one time, there was a marriage that was made in paradise. And that's why I'm calling this a marriage made in paradise. In the text that we have just read, we're given details of this first marriage, this first wedding. When this took place, there was no sin in the world. Everything was perfect. The marriage rate was 100%. And the divorce rate was zero. Then the fall came. How long after this? We don't know. So how long did the statistics say 100% for marriage and zero for divorce? We don't know. But we know at some moment the fall came and sin entered the world. With sin came all sorts of problems. The wretchedness of the curse. The separation from the presence of God. With these problems also came trouble in the home. One would spend a long time seeking that perfect marriage in the world we live in today. Oh, there's some that claim our marriage is perfect. We never speak a harsh word to one another. We never raise our voices. We never get angry. It's probably because they're screaming so loud that their words really can't be understood. If they could, the story might be a little different. The truth is, a lot of marriages today resemble more of an ordeal than an ideal. And men and women contend with each other more than live in blissful matrimony. Consider these facts. Last century, in the 1900s, the divorce rate rose over 700%. In 1960, there was 393,000 divorces. Recently, there was over 1.2 million per year. The rate is still rising. There's a divorce for every 1.3 marriages. Over 1 million children in America will be involved in a divorce case. Of course, there are some sociologists that they want to go against that trend, and they say that we can expect to see a decline in the divorce rate in the very near future. So the question would be asked, are people developing better social skills, or is husband and wife learning how to communicate better? They learn how to work out their problems more productively? No, none of those things are correct. If the divorce rate begins to fall, it will be because people just aren't getting married. They're living together instead, because there's been a dramatic increase in those who are cohabitating. Either way, it's a far cry from what God intended. Marriages are becoming less common in countries around the world, not just in America. Because the share of people getting married has fallen across most countries to a surprising amount. And people are getting married later in life than they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. Across most countries, there's cohabitation. Couples living together who are not married, and it's becoming the common way, the accepted way. Single parenting is common and has increased in recent decades worldwide, not just America. The number of countries to recognize marriage in same couples, same-sex couples, in 2000 has grown dramatically. There's been a general upward trend in the divorce rates globally since 1970 to this day. But divorce rates are lower in younger cohorts. In this passage that we have read, God reveals what His intentions were. And it's how God thinks of marriage and His goals for marriage and a married couple. He put them down so that you and I could understand it. So the principles that are taught here will go a long way to helping in some of the world's problems, in America's problems. And maybe it will make our marriages look a little bit more like that marriage that's made in paradise. So I just want to touch on one or two things because I'm almost out of time. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now that's the opening charge in the Lord's intentions, and that's point one for those of you who have an outline. The Lord's intentions. See, the Lord was concerned. The Garden of Eden was a place of unspeakable beauty and unspeakable wonder. It was a place that God had fashioned just for the first couple. It was a perfect place where God, man, and the animals would enjoy that perfect peace and harmony. It was a good place. And looking back on His creative works in chapter 1, it was clear that God thought that it was a good place. Because it said He looked and it was good. When God looked at His handiwork, He saw it all as good. Until He looked at Adam. And He saw that Adam was the only one of his kind. And we hear the expression, God said, "That's not good." Because man had no counterpart. The word alone, and some of you understand this word better than others, but the word alone carries the idea of being cut off, of just being a piece which is separated and isolated from the whole. That word alone is a hard word. And those of you who feel alone, those of you who feel lonely, my heart goes out to you. Because it's that place of separation. And I'm sure that as the animals came before Adam, that feeling invaded his heart because there was no one for him in all that came. Now, in case any of you singles get a wrong idea, I'm not picking on you, and neither is God. God has deemed that it's better for some not to be married because he can use them better. We see Jesus, we see Paul, we see many others that are in the Word. There's times and circumstances when God determines that someone that is unattached, that's single, fits in his hand better. Therefore, instead of being upset with God, maybe we need to do everything that we can to walk with him, to cleave to him. Perhaps the correct response is going to be to realize that God might have something better for you. And those of you who are seeking a mate, place that in God's hand also. And trust him. You trust him with your salvation and your eternity. Trust him with your here and now also. He can take care of it perfectly. I'm going to stop there after point A. Susan didn't think I'd even get through the introduction, but I proved her wrong. But I am going to stop it there. I appreciate more than ever those who are staying faithful and strong in their marriage. My wife and I, on this date, you see, she reminded me that first February the 14th, not Happy Valentine's Day. She said, do you realize we've been married a half a year? This is our half a year anniversary. You better not forget it. So we've had 49 half-year birthdays, or not birthdays, anniversaries, and I hadn't forgot a single one of them. There was people taking bets that we wouldn't make it. Some of them still don't believe we're going to make it. Without God being the center, we wouldn't have made it. So I leave you with this. Put it in God's hands. Follow him. He will direct you all the way through it. And you will have a marriage that's made in paradise. I will finish this hopefully next week or do more on it next week because I think it's important that we see this. It will benefit us. It will bless us. So would you bow your heads with me for just a moment, please? Father, I want to pray for marriages, for your perfect will to be done between man and woman. God, you've brought us together. We believe that. And God, you're fashioning us together. I'm asking your protection, your blessings on those sacred unions between man and woman. God, I'm asking for reconciliation, forgiveness. I'm asking God for love to be evident in every home, in every marriage. Help us, instead of just contending with one another, help us to grow deeper in love in our relationship with you and with each other. God, if there's those that are struggling, I'm asking that you would give them your peace, your understanding, your wisdom, and your help. God, I reach out to every heart on this Valentine's Day and ask that you would just cement together these men, these women who have entered into holy matrimony. Let it be the most fruitful time that they could ever have for your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you for writing in the pages of your word the specialness of a marriage that's made in paradise, and help us all to live it in your awesome name. Amen and amen. I'm sorry that I didn't get any further in this message. I just kind of uncovered a little, but it was not enough to do justice. So I encourage you to be back next week. Tune in next week so that you can hear the remainder of this. Marriage is special. Stand with me if you would, please. Fathers, we prepare to go our separate ways. What a wonderful day. This day called Valentine's. Let each man's heart, each woman's heart, be turned toward the others. And God, for each one that might be single, let their hearts be turned towards you. And let your blessings just flow. Thank you for everything you've done. In your awesome name, Jesus. Amen and amen.